Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Today's broadcast is sponsored by the Hansen and Lindsay families in loving memory of Norbert Anderson.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when was the last time you got some news that you weren't too excited to receive? When was the last time someone told you something that you really didn't want to hear? I'm not talking about necessarily anything really big and extraordinary. Maybe it was an auto mechanic. You had to take your car into the shop or something. And when you got the bill for the parts and the labor, it was just a little bit more than you were hoping to pay. Maybe it was someone in authority over you, maybe a teacher or a parent or a boss, who told you it really would be better if you didn't quite talk like that or dress that way. Maybe you had a doctor's appointment, and after looking at your stats, the doctor said, you know, your blood pressure really is too high. Cut back on the sodium. Maybe lose a few pounds. Stop smoking. That sort of thing. That kind of news is not fun to hear. It's not the kind of stuff that we really rejoice at hearing. We normally call it bad news, right? And oftentimes it makes the people that are tasked with delivering this news to us a little bit jumpy. Because when we hear that news, a lot of times our first response is to get angry at the person who's telling it to us. We get angry, and normally when they leave, we might curse them or at the very least blame them for what we've heard, because they're the ones that told us. And, you know, this causes all kinds of other problems, right? There's people in the service industries who maybe aren't so forthright with their rates because they're worried that they're going to make you angry. Doctors, right, can couch their diagnoses in Latin phrases that do more to conceal than to inform their patients about what's going on. But really, when it comes to this kind of news, if we're assuming that in all my examples, at least, people are honest, right, you're dealing with an upright mechanic, he's not trying to do you any harm. In fact, quite the opposite. He wants to help you. Your car is broken. He needs to fix it so that you can get where you need to go. The doctor wants you to enjoy your health while you can. Parents, they're not trying to just punish their children, but discipline them and bring them up so that their lives will be full and fruitful. Usually, people delivering this kind of news, assuming they're telling the truth, are looking out for our good. This is just about exactly what's happening in the gospel lesson today. It's what we get, right? We find Jesus, as we often do, preaching and teaching in a synagogue. This one's in Capernaum in Galilee, and he's teaching a crowd of people, and this is what Jesus has to say to them. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, those are some hard words. That is a challenging teaching. He's saying, if you want life, you're only going to get it through me. And some of the people listening receive what Jesus has to say as bad news. The first response we have recorded in the gospel lesson comes from the Jews, John says. That's kind of his phrase for Jesus' enemies. The people who want nothing to do with Jesus and kind of have been against him the whole time. These people always listened skeptically to what Jesus had to say. Always opposed him either privately or after he gives them an excuse like this one, publicly. And when they hear Jesus say this astounding thing, they say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They don't believe it. Like I say, they were looking for an excuse to reject Jesus, and now they've got it. Perfect. But does Jesus back off what he has to say after they respond critically to him? No, because what Jesus has to say is the truth. The problem is not with the news. The problem is in the heart of the one who hears the news. And so Jesus, even knowing that this crowd doesn't like what he has to say, in fact uses this as an example and an opportunity to double down on what he said. You don't like what I have to say? Well, then allow me to say it again, but in a more detailed, clearer fashion. Right? Truly, truly, I say to you, he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Didn't like what I said before? That's okay, I'll just say it again. So Jesus goes on saying the same sort of thing, and we get another response from another group of people. This time, John tells us, from his disciples. Now, just to be clear, again, this is John's term, not for the 12, not for the apostles, not for Jesus' closest followers, but to the crowds of people that are following Jesus around, his disciples. These people, too, have followed him and listened to him and wanted to hear what he had to teach. They've mostly thought he was a pretty great guy. And I'm sure they had all kinds of reasons. Wow, he performs amazing miracles. Oh, he takes care of the poor. He heals the sick. That's wonderful. But they also hear what Jesus has to say in this synagogue this day, right? And this is their response to Jesus. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Now again, these are people that had been fans of Jesus, that had devoted time and resources probably to following him around. But now Jesus has crossed for them a bridge too far. This is hard. You say the bread that you will give for the life of the world is your flesh? You say that unless we drink the blood of the Son of Man, we have no life? I'm sorry, Jesus, but that is simply too much. And John tells us, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So imagine this scene. Jesus is standing up in the synagogue, preaching and teaching. He says this scandalous thing to everyone gathered there. One group is just in an uproar. How in the world can this man say this? He's terrible. See, we've been telling you all along. The other group just begins to file out. But thankfully, blessedly, we have a third response to Jesus and what he preaches in that synagogue. St. Peter steps up boldly and on behalf of the 12 apostles answers in this way, probably his best response in the whole Bible. Jesus asks his apostles, do you want to go away as well? And Peter answers by saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, just to be clear, Peter doesn't say this because he's a great guy, right? I suspect you all know that, but I'll say it again anyways. Peter knows, as Jesus says here, and can say this to Jesus, because it has been granted him by the Father. Who Jesus is and what he has done, the truth that he has come to proclaim, has been given to St. Peter and the apostles to see. So they know, in fact, that Jesus is God in the flesh. They know that he fully intends to suffer and die for them, to rise again, to destroy death once and for all, and to put this creation right. And so knowing that, how can they turn their back on him? How can they walk away? Where are they going to go? There's no one else who will speak to them the truth. There is no one else who will forgive their sins. There is no one else that will lead them to eternal life. And so who are they to criticize him for his hard teachings? It's not that they're easy for the apostles. No, they're as hard for them as for everybody else. But knowing who Jesus is and what he's going to do changes everything for them. And so they can look to him, even with these hard teachings, and trust. Now, brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do that in the intervening 2,000 years, not much has changed. Well, a lot of stuff has changed, right? But as far as this text goes, not much has changed. Jesus still proclaims to this world all sorts of hard teachings. things that are challenging to us, things that are scandalous to us, things that are very, very difficult to believe and even impossible to understand. After this, we're going to say the Nicene Creed. Just like pay attention to that. It's full of stuff that would scandalize most anyone. But we'll stand up and say it confidently, right? Go tell anyone you believe in the virgin birth and watch them laugh. Tell them that you believe that the creator of the entire universe actually took on human flesh and was born as a baby of that virgin. Tell them, in fact, that that same man, that baby who grew into a man, was crucified, was murdered by some Romans on a hill far away, and somehow through that he accomplished for you eternal salvation. And through that death and through that resurrection brings to the world eternal life. Go ahead and tell them that he brings his body and blood to you. And that in his own words, because you eat that flesh and drink that blood, you have life. There are no shortage of challenging, scandalous teachings that our Lord offers to us, his church. And still, we get pretty much three responses, don't we? The crowd of people who never liked Jesus, who never liked his followers, and are looking for any kind of excuse to mock them. Those are the people who will laugh when you bring up the virgin birth, right? There's a second group of people. People who kind of like the idea of Jesus, or at least the idea that they've constructed for themselves in their head. They think he's gentle. They think he's kind. They think he's merciful. Things that he is. They think he's nice. And above all, they think he's tame. And when they hear teachings like this one, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. They say, just like they did 2,000 years ago, hang on a second, Jesus, that is a bridge too far. Who can listen to that? And they leave. But thankfully, God the Father has given that yet today, there are people that can answer with St. Peter. Not rubes. Not people who think these challenging teachings are simple or easy. But people that recognize that for eternal life, we have nowhere else to go. Jesus alone speaks the words of eternal life, and who are we to criticize even his hard teachings? Brothers and sisters, that is us. Those that have been called, gathered, enlightened, and are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Those that wrestle with challenges each and every day, some intellectual, but many not. But you've come here today to hear that in fact our Lord Jesus has the words of eternal life, and that you have believed and have come to know that he is the Holy One of God, the only place you will find salvation. Remember that today and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.